Amen. So as I was saying during corporate intercession, whenever God highlights one person, God always does it as a representative of what he's doing in the entire house. So if you were sitting there, a lot of times, especially when I first started going out to church, and I would see someone get pointed out, and God would pray for them, and I'd listen, and I was like, man, that was a great prayer. Man, I needed that. I needed to receive that grace. I needed that to happen in my life. I've been crying out for freedom in that particular area of my life. Or I've been praying for that particular breakthrough. And for so long, I would get down on myself, you know, be like, man, no one ever calls me out. Like, what's the odds of getting called out? There's 100 people here. Like, it's never going to happen. But God's like, you know, well, me and the Lord, our intimacy is a little different. So he's like, you know, shut up. You know, he's like, what I do for one, I do for another. And so a breakthrough that God gives one person here at the altar is meant for you as well. You just have to apply your faith to it and receive it. Amen. Amen. I want you to turn in your Bible. We're still going through the book of 1 Corinthians. So we're going to continue that series through the book of 1 Corinthians. It's been powerful going through this book. Amen. I guess you kind of had to say amen, or if you were saying that it kind of sucked. No one says anything, then I'm like, I guess my preaching kind of sucked. If you don't know who I am, my name is Marcus Corpeting. I'm the campus pastor here at New Philadelphia Church Itaewon, this Itaewon campus. New Philly has two other campuses, Hillside, which is our main campus. It's located in Shilim Dong, two stops away from Seoul National University. And then we have a third campus we recently started this year in Busan, and it's called Seaside. So we got Hillside, and then we have Itaewon, and then Seaside. And so I'm the campus pastor here. Just want to welcome you. We're going to go through chapter 2, and we're going to go through verses 6 to 16. God has a great word for us today. How about I read the even, you read the odd, and then we'll read the last verse together. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. And all together, for who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to say a word of prayer for us. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that today is a powerful day. We thank you, Lord, that you've already demonstrated that to us, Lord. At Sunday Swim, you've demonstrated it to us here as we worship and even in corporate intercession, God. That, Lord, that your desire is to release your power among your people, for us to walk in your power, God. And we thank you, Lord, Father, for your presence. Father, we pray for the word today. I pray that as it goes out, Lord, it will be sharper than any double-edged sword. That, Father, it would cut off deception, root out lies, God, and it would be a hammer to establish us in the truth. Father, I pray that as I preach and as I proclaim the word, that every heart is becoming wide open to it right now, God. Lord, I break off every work of the devil that seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. But Father, I pray for life and life abundant instead in this place today. And Lord, that it would bring forth a harvest 30, 60, 100-fold. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I've been a believer now. I've been a Christian for about 6 years. It was 6 years actually last month. So I became a Christian in August of 2006. And I kind of went over that story a bit throughout the past couple sermons as we've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians. But since I've become a Christian, it's been like the most amazing 6 years of my life. I wish I could be like exaggerating or saying like just trying to make it sound good when I say that becoming a Christian is the best thing that's ever happened to me. But to be honest, it's true. You know, after I became a Christian and after God began to root me in discipleship, root me in his word, and then fill me with his spirit, and I began to be empowered and changed and transformed by his Holy Spirit, I began to experience things that I could have never experienced before. I've experienced out on the missions field, I've seen miracles, signs and wonders that I never thought were possible before. I mean, before I was a Christian, I was an atheist, hardcore, like Christians would come up to me on campus. They'd be like, hi, do you want to know Jesus? Get out of my face. That's how I was. I was that guy. Maybe some of you interacted with a guy like me. And that's why like your faces are kind of angry. But I hated God. I hated God's people. But when I became a Christian, when I met the Lord and when his Holy Spirit came upon me, it was powerful. It transformed everything. It transformed the way that I thought. All of a sudden, my thinking patterns are completely different. I can't think the same way I used to think. All of a sudden, the fruit that I see manifest in my life is different. I remember going to India, and we had it was the first missions trip I'd ever been on. Before that time, I didn't know what missions was. I remember Pastor Christian, he came up to me, he said, we want you to lead the India missions team. And my response to him was, what is missions? And he said, that's not what I wanted to hear. You're leading it anyways. Go find out. And I was like, all right. So I just went to Wikipedia, missions. But we go, and I remember the final night of these revival services we were having. I didn't know what revival was. I heard people talk about it a little bit, but I didn't know what revival was. But we were having these revival services, I guess, where there was revival. And the last night, people were sending us messages saying the dead are going to be raised to life. And I was like, snap. I remember we were riding down the street, and I was like looking for dead people. Like, are we going to see anyone dead on the street? Like, I don't know where you got to be to see dead people on the street, but I was expecting to see it. But I remember our final night, the final revival service, we do the altar call, and there's this young man that comes up, and he's crying. He's on his face the entire time during the altar ministry. We want to touch him, but he's crying so loud, we're a little scared. And eventually, like the power of God, it came upon him and his friends had to carry him out. And we hear his testimony. And his testimony was that the night before he tried to kill himself. The night before he had tried to kill himself, but it didn't work. And then the next day he gives him his life over to the Lord. Powerful, powerful things. I've seen legs grow out. I didn't know that legs could grow out. Actually, I didn't know our legs were different lengths. But for some people, they are. And God desires for us to walk in health and wholeness. So he calls the leg to grow out. I remember in General Santos being out there and seeing people who had, you know, cataracts, but you didn't get medical service. So their entire eyes were covered. They were pretty much blind, and God opening up their eyes so they could see. Deaf ears that were clogged up. And then all of a sudden, these guys that were translators were saying like, hallelujah, our ears, we can hear now. And they translated so much better after that. I remember, like, as a Christian, we've seen so many different things. We go out on the street to 1038 and we come back every week with testimonies of God's power reaching people. A brother, David O, who attends Hillside Campus, I remember Pastor Christian sharing a testimony with me where he walked into a supermarket in Itaewon, walked up to this random guy and said, you need an encounter from God. And God's wanting to give you an encounter right now here in this grocery store right now. And the guy was like, I do? Yes, I do. Give me an encounter. I need it. And he prays for him and the guy meets the Lord. There's testimonies of God's power going out, and God desires for his power to go out through each and every one of us. There's nothing special about me that causes God's power to go out any more than you. There's no like super duper Holy Spirit, pastor Holy Spirit, and congregation Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit. I've seen all these different testimonies. I mean, these 6 years that I've been a Christian have been amazing, not just in miracles, not just in miracles of seeing legs grow out or the blind see and the deaf hear. I was going to say the blind hear. I was like, that doesn't work. I don't know if that's a miracle. Not just testimonies or miracles like that, but how about miracles of God's provision? I can think of so many times where as a Christian, I remember I was an exchange student. All I had left was $20. That's all I had. I did not get the seminar on biblical stewardship. I didn't get Pastor Christian series. I didn't know how to budget, didn't know how to do anything. And all I had was $20 to my name. And I had not tithed that week. I had not tithed at all. And I felt the Lord say, give it. Just test me. Give it. And I remember sitting there and I was scared to death. And I was counting down the moments because in my peripheral vision, I could see the offering basket. And I was like, may it skip me. May I be like invisible. And it came. And the Lord was like, just trust me. Give it. So I put everything in. I put everything in. And now I'm like, how am I going to get home? I ain't even got money on my T-Money card. Like, I have nothing. I'm going to have to walk from Shilim, which was the hillside campus, all the way over to Shinchon, where I was staying, which is where Yonsei University is. It's like walking. It's probably going to take me like 3-4 hours, maybe. And I leave and I'm on my way out. And I see someone at the table in the back, you know, that table where you sign up for stuff, where a lot of people like to avoid after service. You know, small group, I ain't gonna sign up for that. I remember walking by that table and I was doing exactly that. I was trying not to look at the small group signups because I knew if I saw the sheet of paper, I was gonna sign up. And the person standing there said, hey, Marcus, hey, come here. I said, okay. Someone left this for you. Gave me an envelope. I was like, what? I opened up the envelope and it was 4 times what I put in the offering basket. Trust me, you may like be like, well, I was like, that's a miracle. I was like, we're going to eat out tonight. We're going to Vips buffet on me. I didn't get that biblical stewardship seminar after that either. seen miracles of God's provision in my life, where all of a sudden God would, especially when I was raising support and I was relying on missionary support and people were supporting me monthly. And then all of a sudden God would move upon someone's heart, someone I've never met before, someone I didn't even know, to sow into my life beyond anything I'd ever seen before. Powerful, powerful testimonies. And then a part of me wonders, why is that not the story of every single person in this room? Why is that not the story of every single person? Why do you not have a testimony of God's healing? Why do you not have a testimony of God's provision? Do you? Do you have a testimony of you laying your hands on the sick and seeing them well? Do you have a testimony of speaking into someone's life with prophetic clarity and then all of a sudden they're crying and then they're set free? Maybe seeing your life transformed so that you can transform others. Why is that testimony not multiplied throughout every single person that's sitting in this room? Many of us, when we come into the house of God, we're broken. We're in dire need of a testimony. We're in dire need of someone to pray for us, let alone pray for someone else. I know some of you may be thinking, you know, Pastor Marcus, I got my own problems. But why? That's what I ask myself. Why aren't people walking up to me every Sunday saying, Pastor Marcus, you wouldn't believe what God has done for me this week. You wouldn't believe what God has done through me this week. You wouldn't believe the things that he has spoken and shown to me. I ask myself that question. And Paul, he kind of wrestles with the same thing in this text. in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Because he's talking about two different types of people that he finds in the church. He finds the natural person and he finds the spiritual person. He finds a person whose life is defined only by the natural, only by what they can see, what they can handle, what's in front of them. They don't have any supernatural testimonies. They don't have any supernatural breakthroughs. They don't experience God's power in amazing ways. And then you have the spiritual person. And I know we've taken the word spiritual today, and spiritual can mean all kinds of things, right? I remember we go out on the street and we do evangelism, and usually one of the questions I ask someone is, are you a spiritual person? You know, are you spiritual? And then usually they're like, yeah, I do yoga, I do new age, I do energy. You know, I do a little bit of everything. I do Dragon Ball Z. I do everything. Because we've taken the word spiritual and we've made spiritual into a cultist. But when Paul's talking here, he's not saying, are you a spiritual person in terms of, do you go out and do yoga? Yoga, by the way, is New Age occultism, if you did not know. He did not, when he was talking about being spiritual, he wasn't saying, oh, well, are you in this myriad of people who believe that there is another world? I don't know why I did all this, like, Kung Fu Panda stuff, which has got a lot of occultism in it. But there's a difference between someone. It's true. Inner peace. Jesus said, peace I give to you. Peace not as the world gives, but peace that can't be taken away. Kung Fu Panda don't give you inner peace. Jesus is your peace. He's the Prince of Peace. So if you're doing all this for inner peace, you need to stop it. It's not giving you inner peace. It's giving you demons. There's a difference between being spiritual and being an occultist. That's the point I'm trying to make. What Paul is saying is that a spiritual person is someone who is led by, filled with, empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's the spiritual person. Are you a spiritual person or are you a natural one? See, oftentimes in the church, we pray a prayer. Jesus, I invite you into my life. I repent of my sins. Amen. I put my hand down. I fill out a card. And then we live out the rest of our lives. No, not as spiritual people. We don't know the Holy Spirit. We don't know the power of Jesus's resurrection. We live it as natural people. We have natural worries, natural concerns, and everything that we think about during the week is so natural. But what if we had supernatural concerns? What it would be like to have some supernatural concerns, you know? Like, I've been praying for this breakthrough, and I ain't seen this breakthrough yet. God, I'm believing you for it. I'm believing for this miracle. It's a supernatural concern. My child or my friend has this disease or this issue. A natural concern is, oh, I'll send them to the doctor. A supernatural one is that I'm going to lay my hands on him and declare healing. And see that power break out. These are questions I ask myself, so I'm asking you. Are you a spiritual person or are you a natural one? You know, Paul gives us some characteristics of a natural person. And see, a natural person can't see a supernatural outbreak. A natural person doesn't have supernatural testimonies. But a spiritual person does. And the first thing that I want you to know about a natural person, I'm going to give you three things about a natural person that I want you to know. As we talk about the spiritual person versus the natural, the first is that the natural person is marked by a wisdom that passes away. In chapter 2, verse 6, Paul says, yet among the mature, or mature, my country accent comes out, mature. I don't know how you even spell that. It's like M-A-T-U-R-R. Mature. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom. Actually, when Paul says mature here, he doesn't mean someone who's older. He actually means someone that is spiritually mature. The actual Greek word means someone that is perfect, complete. And he's talking in terms of someone who is fully grown in their faith, that is mature in their faith. And he actually is talking about a spiritual person, a spiritually mature person. Yet among the mature, we impart wisdom. Although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. 1 John 2 says that the world and its desires will pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. You ever had someone give you some natural wisdom, some wisdom that passes away, some wisdom from their age? I know that we have a lot of Korean Americans, Korean Canadians, Kyopos in here. And a lot of the testimonies I hear from their parents is that, like, their parents don't want them to come back to Korea. A lot of my friends that are here in Korea, when they talk to their parents are like, come home. Come home now. And it's like, why? It's because, like, to them, Seoul is like this place that still is like trapped in 1987 or something. I know when I talk to my mom, and my mom, a lot of times she gives me spiritual wisdom. But other times I get wisdom from her age. I know when I talk to my grandma, I get some wisdom from her age. I remember talking to my mom about this thing that we have in the church going on called the Naomi Initiative. And my mom was like, it was weird. My mom was like so for it, it was almost like a little scary. I was like, Mom, we got this thing going on called the Naomi Initiative. She was like, oh, that's awesome. Naomi Initiative. We need to have a Naomi Initiative here. I was like, well, my mom's not married. She's single right now. I was like, Mom, that's a little uncomfortable. You know, I remember in the past talking to my grandmother. I call my grandmama Nina. I remember talking to Nina because she thinks calling her grandma makes her sound old. So she's like, you can never call me grandmom, Nina. I'm like, it's not even related. Like, is this Spanish? What is this? And I remember talking to my grandmother. I remember talking to her in the past. And I'd be like, you know, Nina, I went on a date. And she's like, date? What's a date? Like a date, like a raisin? What's a date? Like, I put dates in salads. What do you do a date for? And she's like more about the, like, you know, you just go out, you meet that person, y'all get married like next week and you're married forever. I was like, it don't work like that right now. That's wisdom that's passing away, Nina. Some natural wisdom. You ever had someone give you some wisdom that it seems like wisdom right now? It may be relevant, but it's not really timely. It doesn't last. It kind of speaks to my situation. It's for this kind of time, but then later on, it just completely passes away. Sometimes when you go to your friends for advice, they give you some natural wisdom, right? Wisdom that passes away. Oh, girl, I think I should do it. Oh, girl, go ahead. Go ahead, girl. Go ahead, girl. Go ahead, girl. Next week, you're like, girl, why'd you tell me that? I don't even know, girl. I just thought you liked it, so I just went along with you. My friendships with my homies ain't like that. I don't know why I went directly to the girls. I can just think back to so much natural wisdom that I've received. I'm American, so this past week has been like the Republican National Convention and the Democratic National Convention. The past 2 weeks. All right, sorry. And I've been noticing on Twitter that so many people have been quoting like Bill Clinton, Barack Obama. Some people have been quoting, oh, Michelle, all right, holler. Like, Michelle said this. Hashtag, I love her. Like, that's wisdom. But really, that's wisdom that's passing away. See, Paul said the wisdom that we give, the wisdom that we impart among the spiritual people is not wisdom for a particular moment. It's not wisdom for just right now. It's wisdom from the past It's wisdom from beyond this age that will last even further. Many Christians, we're just living in a natural wisdom. We're living in a natural age. And every time we seek counsel, or every time we pray, or anytime we're looking for any kind of wisdom, it's usually just a natural wisdom. We seek it from the person next to us, or that person that we know will tell us yes. Speak to my pastor about that. Get some godly counsel. I don't know. He's going to tell me something I don't want to do. Pray to God about this thing. Actually seek God about my next move with this business venture. Now, I don't know if I should do that. God's going to give me something I don't want to do. But see, the spiritual person recognizes that true wisdom comes only from God. True wisdom comes only from seeking the Lord. It's a wisdom that's imparted that is not taken away. The second thing about the natural person, and I want you to catch this, it's that the natural person crucifies what he should exalt, and he exalts what he should crucify. In this passage, after Paul talks about the wisdom of this age, he says, yet among the mature, we impart a wisdom, not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. And this is what he says right here, verse 8. None of the rulers of this age understood this. For if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Paul said that if the rulers of that day would have just understood what God was doing with Jesus, if they would have understood what God was implementing, if they would have been able to see things not with natural eyes, but with spiritual ones, they would have never crucified Jesus. If they would have understood the power, the secret and hidden wisdom that God was wanting to give to his people, they would have never crucified Jesus. He goes on to say that the natural person cannot accept the things of God. They're folly to him, because they have to be spiritually discerned. In Romans chapter 8, it talks about how the natural mind, the mind of the flesh, is actually hostile, an enemy to the things of God. You know, a natural person, you walk up to them and you speak to them about a spiritual thing, and they have faith for the natural thing and not the spiritual. They have faith for their trials, but unbelief for their breakthrough. They have faith for their sickness, but no faith for their healing. You know, what's going on with you? Oh, I've been sick. I've been sick so long. Oh, well, let me pray for you. Well, I don't know. You know, I've been sick my whole life. You know, they have so much faith for their illness, but no faith for their healing. You ever met someone who's got faith for their trial, but no faith for their breakthrough? I remember I was talking with Pastor John Michael. Me and him were sitting and talking, and I was sharing with him an issue that I've been dealing with for most of my life. I share with him, you know, he knows my situation. He knows my background. You know, my background is one of poverty. You know, no one in my family is quote unquote stable or well off or anything like that. I just talked to you about, you know, the biblical stewardship and the $20 and everything. But the interesting thing is that I realized, even as I was talking with Pastor John Michael, that I had so much, and he would counsel me continually. He would speak into my life about this area. No, God wants to prosper you. God wants to increase you. God desires for you to be stable financially. God desires not for you to just be stable financially, but he wants to bless you and overflow you so that you can bless others. But it wasn't getting through. It wasn't getting through to my heart, because my whole paradigm has been set up around poverty. My whole paradigm had been set up around this natural circumstance that I've experienced. And I have more faith for my poverty than I do for my blessing. I have more faith that I'm going to continue to stay in a place of poverty than that God is going to increase me and overflow my cup. The natural person, they hear the word of the Lord, they hear God speak, but it doesn't get through because they have so much faith for their trial, so much faith for the thing that they should be crucifying. rather than the thing that they should be exalting. You know, the Pharisees, they should have been exalting Jesus. They should have been lifting him up. If they would have seen him in the spirit, if they would have seen him with spiritual eyes, they'd have been like, oh, snap, that's Jesus. He's the Messiah. Let me put down some leaves for you. Here's my coat. But instead, they were like, kill him. And I know, like, when we read that story, we're always like, stupid Pharisees. If I was there, I would have not done that. I'd have been right there. I'd have been breaking that alabaster jar at your feet, Jesus. You know my heart. You know me. When the truth of the matter is, in our spiritual walk, many times we crucify the blessings that God wants to give to us. We send to death the things that God wants to bless us with instead of putting our resurrection faith and power in those things. We say, no, I exalt my trial. I exalt my suffering instead of exalting the breakthrough, exalting the healing. You know, there's full-on denominations that have put theology around exalting something that they should be crucifying. You know, healing, illness. There's entire denominations that say that illness is something from God. And then healing, they put so much doubt on. Oh, well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if that's a healing. I don't know. Can we get some doctors? We need to super duper verify that. You say you have no pain. I think that's just mind games. I'm not sure. But the Bible says you're supposed to suffer. You know a word about healing. You know that the early church always had faith for healing. You know, one of the biggest things that marked the early church was faith for healing. And every time that someone was sick or someone had an issue, healing, the first thing they did, they prayed for healing. Nowadays, we reinterpret scriptures in Bible passages that talk about suffering and persecution, right? And we interpret them as meaning what? Sickness and disease, right? There's so many preachers, so many pastors that go around talking about how God wants you to suffer. And that suffering has to do with sickness and disease. But historically, that actually wasn't the case in the church. When in the Bible, when you read about suffering and persecution, it was actually about suffering and persecution. Like people were trying to kill them. People were hunting them down. There was external persecution that they were experiencing. So when they talked about the trials and the tribulations they went through, they weren't talking about physical illness. They were actually talking about like the popo, the police trying to kick down their door and take out all of them. They were talking about real persecution, real suffering. But what happened was then when Constantine became a Christian and the church became more widespread and the church became the group that had the power, there was no more persecution. There was no more persecution, no more suffering that was coming from the outside. So all of a sudden you had these monks and these theologians that had to reinterpret these passages of scripture. So they read these passages about suffering, about trial, about tribulation. They say, well, how do we make sense of these now? Oh, I have a cough. I have a headache. That must mean suffering. They reinterpreted the Bible for suffering to mean illness rather than actual persecution. Why? Because it was a natural mindset. It wasn't inspired by the Holy Spirit. It was faith for a trial rather than faith for a breakthrough. Faith for an illness rather than faith for healing. See, the spiritual believer, they recognize that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for us. But God has revealed it to us by the Spirit. God has prepared things for us that are beyond our wildest dreams. He has prepared things for us that we can't even hear. We can't even see, that we could not conceive with our own natural minds. But he's revealed it to us by the Spirit. The spiritual person recognizes that God seeks to bless them beyond their wildest dreams. The Bible says the Lord is good. He cares for those that trust in him. The spiritual person recognizes that Christ died on the cross, not for them to suffer, but for them to prosper. Are you a natural believer or a spiritual one? The spiritual believer takes the word of God and they say, you know what? I know the plans that God has for me, plans to prosper and not harm me, plans to give me hope in a future. And I believe that God's going to do it by his Spirit in every situation. Today, I'm challenging you in your thought life. I'm challenging you in your walk. What do you have faith for? Because by your faith, it'll be done. See, God doesn't want a church that has faith for trials and faith for poverty and faith for sickness. There are many other places that have, the world has faith for that. See, God wants believers that have faith for healing, faith for signs and wonders, for miracles, for provision, for his goodness to go out upon the earth. That's what God wants faith for. But see, the spiritual person, the third thing about the natural person is that he cannot even accept the things of God. They don't even break through his fortress. He cannot even discern the things of God. See, I'm talking about these things because God wants your mindset to change. He wants you to walk as a spiritual believer and not as a natural one. And it's possible. The Holy Spirit already lives inside of you. But you have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, you're able to test and approve God's good, pleasing, and perfect will for your life. But when not, everything that you hear sounds like foolishness. In the natural mind, you're hearing me preach to you right now about these things, and it sounds like complete foolishness. Why would I believe for healing? Why would I believe for breakthrough? Why would I believe for salvation? It's foolishness. But the spiritual person is able to receive all of it. The spiritual person is able to not only receive it, but walk in it. Their entire thought life is transformed by these revelations of what God has freely given to us by the cross. It's not anything you have to work for. It's not anything you have to strive for. It's something that God has freely given. You know, a natural believer in the church is someone that I like to call, they're a heck of fake Christian. New Philly, we have our own culture. We use words like snap and mad. But when I went to California, they taught me this new word. And I didn't think I could learn new Ebonics. I didn't think it was possible. I thought like my vocabulary was top notch. Ebonics, if you don't know, is kind of like a ghetto language. But anyways, I went and they taught me this word, and it's called hecka fake. And they kept looking at me, and every time we would joke about something, they'd say, man, you're hecka fake. Or, dude, that's hecka fake. And I realized what they were talking about. Well, hecka just means really, and fake means fake, obviously. And the natural Christian is a hecka fake Christian. It's a Christian that comes into the congregation, and they stand there, and they even sing the worship songs, but they have no faith that God's power is going to break out into their lives. They're a person that walks into the sanctuary with sickness and disease, but no faith that God wants to heal them, so they don't mention it to anyone. There's someone who's got trials and tribulations all around them, but never gets to the point where they can actually begin to believe God for that breakthrough. I believe God looks at that and he says, man, that's heck of fake. I sent my son on the cross so that you would have all these things freely. Don't live like a heck of fake Christian. Be a spiritual one. Be a real one. I want us to pray right now. There's many of you in this room that God wants to redefine your Christian walk today. He wants to redefine your Christian walk because before this moment, before this day, your Christian life has been defined. You look more like a natural person than a spiritual person. And your Christian walk hasn't been defined by faith. It's not been defined by the power of God. It's not been defined by the Holy Spirit breaking out in amazing ways. It's been defined by the exact opposite. And you're realizing that day in and day out, you have more faith that something bad is going to happen to you and that God wants to hurt you, rather than having faith that God wants to bless you, that God wants to overflow your cup, that God wants to anoint you, that God wants to raise you up. Much of the trepidation and fear that people experience in the body of Christ is because they haven't gotten a revelation of what has freely been given to them by God. And so they're just walking in all kinds of doubt, all kinds of questions. And questions don't intimidate God, but it's like every moment you got a question, because you just can't bring yourself to that place of faith. But God wants to change that today. And I believe he wants to give you a fresh encounter. Ultimately, it's not a sermon that does it. It's not a word that does it. It's the Spirit. It's the Spirit that renews and transforms our mind. It's the Spirit. It's the Spirit that gives us faith. It's the Spirit that awakens that new life inside of each one of us. And many of you today, you need a fresh filling, or you need to be baptized in His Holy Spirit. I just want everyone right now, just start praying right now. If you've been, I want you to just pray. Just Holy Spirit, just come. Holy Spirit, come into this place. Holy Spirit, fill this place right now. Just fill this place, Holy Spirit. The reason I began this sermon with the testimonies of what God has done in my life is because the testimonies of what Jesus has done in my life is the spirit of prophecy for each and every one of you. Meaning that what God does in my life, he desires to do in yours. And he actually desires to do abundantly more in your life than what he's already done in mine. But you haven't seen it, and you feel like your Christian walk's been just defined as being a natural person. And you want to be a spiritual person. Inside of your heart, you're saying, God, I want those testimonies. I want to see that in my life. I want you to just stand to your feet. Just want to pray for you. Everyone in this room right now, leaders, just start praying in the Spirit right now. Start praying in the Spirit. If you're standing right now, I want you to just... It says that the natural mind is hostile to the things of God. The mind of the flesh is hostile to the things of God, which means that your mindset, where it's been before, has literally been an enemy to God. It's been at odds with God and everything that God says. Everything that God wants to do in your life. And so before we pray for you, before I believe that God wants to release that, you have to first repent. You have to say, God, you know what? I repent of having this natural mindset. I repent for putting my faith in these things, putting my faith in trials, in sickness, in disease, and putting my faith in all these other things rather than putting my faith in you. So I'm going to give you a moment right now. Just come before the Lord and just lay that down before him. Just put that natural mind before him. Crucify it right now. Just give it unto him. Let's start praying in this place. Let's start praying. Leaders, pray in the Spirit right now. Leaders, pray in the Spirit. Satana of Satan, And what I want us to do right now, I want just the leaders that are here in this house, I want you to get up and I want you to just go around to the people who are standing. And I want you to lay your hands upon them. If you're an active reserve leader, I don't care. Just go around. And I want you to lay your hands on every person that's standing. And all of us in this place, we're going to pray for the Holy Spirit to move. A spiritual person needs the Holy Spirit to come and encounter them. And so I want us to pray, and we're going to pray for the Holy Spirit to move and for spiritual people to come alive in this place, that God will give them a fresh feeling of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray that right now. Church, let's begin to pray. Pray out loud. Pray boldly for the Holy Spirit to come, for the Holy Spirit to fill those that are standing. Let's pray, church. Let's pray. Lord, we speak right now, God, just a fresh feeling. God, a fresh feeling of your Holy Spirit, God. Fresh feeling, God. Release, Lord. Release your spirit, God, in this place, God. Leaders, pray boldly. Leaders, pray with fire. Lord, I pray right now, God, for your Holy Spirit to come upon her right now, God. Father, I break off, God, all fear. I break off, God, every lie. I break off every lie right now, God. I speak a fresh filling of your Spirit. Holy Spirit, come right now, God, and fill her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, God. Loosen right now, God. Keep praying. God's moving in this place. Keep praying. Release it, God. Release it, Lord. He's setting people free right now. He's setting people free right now. He's setting people free right now. I want us to pray for one more thing. I want every person in this room to pray for this, actually. There's one prayer that God loves to hear from his people. And it's not a selfish prayer. It's not a greedy prayer. It's more. More of your spirit. More of you, God. More of your spirit. And every person that stood and every person that is in this room, I want us all to cry out for more of his spirit. For more, that God would awaken each and every one of us to be more and more that spiritual person that walks in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that walks in the power of the Holy Spirit. So everyone, right now, let's lift up our voices and let's pray for more of His Spirit, more of the Holy Spirit to move in our midst. Come on, church, let's pray.
Some more, Lord. More of your spirit, God. Come on, you gotta want it. You gotta want it. You gotta want it. You can't just pray small prayers. You gotta want it. You gotta want it with everything in you. Pray, church. Ask him for it. Lord, Lord, we want more. God, we want more of your spirit, God. We want to see you move, God, in power, God. Lord, I pray right now for a fresh filling of your spirit, God, in every person in this room, God. That every person, God, would get a fresh filling, a fresh encounter, God, a fresh encounter of your spirit, God. Lord, you refresh the tired and weary, God. You give us every good thing, God. Lord, so we ask for more of your spirit, God.
The Bible says that if your father, if your earthly father, your natural father, who is evil, would give you good things, how much more would God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And God wants us to be a spiritual people who are marked by more and more of His Holy Spirit. That when we walk into a place, the place changes, we don't change. Because the Spirit of the living God is flowing out of us into every place that we go. God wants to multiply the testimonies that flow from this place. Something that Pastor Benjamin said, he said that ministry is not the guy on the pulpit preaching. Ministry is what you and I do when we leave the church. Every single one of us are ministers of God. And every single one of us have a call to take His Spirit, to take His signs and wonders, to take His goodness out to the street. But you gotta want it. He said, how much more would He give it to those who ask? And when you ask, you have to ask. Like a child would ask their father for anything. A child doesn't half-heartedly ask anything when they know that their father is good. A child asks with full confidence that the Father will give it, and He will give it in abundance. Father, mark us, Lord. Mark us, God. Mark every person in this room to be a person, God, who carries your spirit, Lord. And Father, signs and wonders accompany us, God, everywhere that we go. Mark us, God, to be people who carry more and more and more of your presence, God. Lord, that's who we want to be, God. We want to be spiritual people, Lord, walking in a revelation of what's freely been given to us by God. So, Lord, we thank you, God. Father, I bless every person, Lord, whom you have sealed and, Father, poured your spirit into just now, God. Lord, give them more. Give them more, God. Give them more when they go to bed at night. Give them more when they wake up in the morning, God. Give them more, God. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
And while we stand up, we're just going to close with a